You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. like a rare disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying: conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're having a good day. Hope you have a good weekend. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, you will get it done anyway. Right on. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Just go to timeforanawakening.com. On the right side of the page, at the top, there's the program link. And if it is Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, and it's 11:30 Eastern time, or whatever time you are, and then click the link. Hit the link, and there you're going to have a uninterrupted live program. Yeah. But, of course, there's consistent programming on Time for an Awakening on Tuesdays. Thursdays from 8 to 10. The Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with my good brother, Patrick Lumumba, and the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Today, Friday, at 8 p.m. this evening, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Tomorrow, Saturday, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And, of course, you can use the shortcut if you, whatever search engine that you may use, put in the search, babaoshi.net, BABAOSHI.net, babaoshi.net. We buy black. We buy black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Taihemba is ready to take another group of our people, July 11th to the 23rd. Going to Ghana. November 20th to December 2nd. Kemet. November 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azania. April 4th to April 14th, 2025, Kenya. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. And November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see previous tours on pictures, go to Facebook.com/Bomani if you want to see photos. Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani 2007. Africa for the Africans.org. Habashaw. Habashaw Incorporated. Habashaw stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And the Habashaw Works program they have. Habashaw Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs, Habashaw. The LEDGE program, Land for the Environmental, LEDGE,
land for the environmental development of group economics. And, of course, they deal with the four areas of human necessity, human existence, human essentiality, and that is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in six different countries on the continent with over 170 employees and over 250 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, is still in Kenya. The Minister of Wellness, go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. Smile Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY. Smile Pharmacy, Brother Jabril, a lot of new products. If you want to give him a call him at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Smile Pharmacy. Drop him an email at Smile Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY at gmail.com. Smile Pharmacy. The Moses West Foundation. Brother Moses West Foundation, providing access to clean water, usable water. Make a donation. All donations are acceptable. We develop and implement atmospheric water generation technology to provide water, sanitation, and hygiene solutions worldwide, ensuring communities have access to essential services for health and well-being. Our mission: we are a nonprofit organization focused on elevating the global water crisis by bringing clean water access and water health and hygiene educational programs to the world's most impoverished communities. The Moses West Foundation. Without Us, Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. Without Us, Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Located 878 Ralph Dibben Abernathy. Tomorrow and Sunday, they have vegan dishes for sale, but they have delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and pastries and sandwiches and dry goods, beans, and so forth. So check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar on Ralph Dibben Abernathy in the West End. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, which is east of here, off of I-20. You take I-20 going east, you take exit 74, make a left. Now you're headed north for about a mile. And on the left would be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, where Brother Gazemde Ajamu is the proprietor. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. He has books. I mean, he has a whole array of things at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. I usually announce them first, but so, hey, a little change up, you know, so I don't get too routine. The Medu Bookstore, give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, gift certificates, and so much more. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Now, jump in your ride and head back east. Make a left back on I-20. You're still going east. Okay, take the next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. When you make a right, three lights and make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. All right. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Last night they had their Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The Thursday night broadcast from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Blog Talk Radio, Us Lifting Us. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia, Brother Bija. He's open this weekend. He's open from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Check him out. If you want to give him a call him at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop located in Jonesboro. 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Give my good sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. And once again, Sanjay-Haiti. Sanjay-Haiti. Sister Gabby has been doing outstanding work with the children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti up in the hills. And so, brothers and sisters, they rely on the help of us and our generosity, because there is no government assistance, as you know. So go to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sniffles here, man, I'm telling you. Huh. All right. And Baba Baruti and Mama Ya, once again, Baba Baruti will be my guest next Friday. Excuse me. Will be my guest Monday. Looking forward to Monday, yes. My guest Monday. And of course, wait a minute now. Come on. I had, there we are. Okay. There's a summer school at Ackerman Institute. We're offering a 5-week online program. Starts June 17th. That's Monday. Monday is June 17th. And it lasts until July 19th. One-on-one tutoring with Mama Ya. Language arts, mathematics, African culture, minimum 1-hour sessions that must be scheduled in advance, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, and then from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And then with Baba Baruti, art history class, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and chess class, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. to noon. All right. Now, also too, tomorrow, Saturday, June 15th at 2 o'clock, African Liberation Now, in the spirit of our ancestors, Baba Baruti and Brother Kalanji at the House of Ogun, 4720 Birch Street, Birch Drive, Union City, Georgia. There's a $10 donation. So that's happening tomorrow. Baba Baruti, Brother Kalanji, they've done things together many times. And it's going to be a great program, I'm quite sure. Also, too, there's Ashe Wellness Cultural Market Sunday, this Sunday, which is Father's Day from noon to 6 p.m. Father's Love, Honoring the Spirit of Fatherhood. That's going to be this Monday, honoring the spirit of fatherhood. Yeah. So, and then, of course, Sunday, June 23rd, African Centered Consciousness versus the New World Order. That's going to be at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore from 12 noon to 5 p.m. Okay. That's That's not an eight. Come on, Hoshi. Dr. Amos Wilson's book, African Centered Consciousness versus the New World Order. And Baba Baruti will be breaking that down. So can't wait for that. That's going to be Sunday, June 23rd from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Okay. All right, family. Let's get off into something, huh? Yeah. Going to talk today about whatever it is you want. And, you know, it's Friday, so we always can have some conversation about something. I'm going to talk today about some stuff I heard and that I've been saying all along. You know, I appreciate for those who listen to this program. I really do. My message is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. To me, everything else is moot. If you're not talking about that, and you're not moving in that direction and assisting others to move in that direction, because there's no doubt about it, the people who have influenced this world for a long time want to continue to control and dominate it. And why wouldn't they not? It has benefited them. And they want to get rid of. They want to get rid of millions of people, if not billions of people. I believe there's 7-8 billion people on the planet. Now, when you look at Africa, Africa can hold a lot more people. Africa is bigger than what it's always been projected to be, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. So we don't have to, you know. Almost 8 billion people. I had to pull this up. You know. And what's ironic, of that 7 billion, less than 10% of that 8 billion people, let's throw it there. Let's round it up. 8 billion people. Less than 10% are European, are Caucasian, are Urugu. But yet they control 70-80% of resources globally. The European Jews control and dominate in various fields. And so for me, I'm tired of the European, the Caucasian, controlling. You know, last night I watched a couple of movies, old from the 60s, Hercules movie, and all the stereotypes, they were just so profound. You know, but understand this, they still think in that fashion, they still think in that way. Nothing has changed, it's just been, you know, just retooled, reformed to more of their benefit. And so, for us as African people, let me tell you, let me do this. Let me play Howard Nicholas, because we don't hear that one too often. And I mentioned Howard Nicholas all the time. I mentioned how I like to just jump into the TV or into the video, whatever, and just beat his ass for how arrogant he is, how matter of fact, and how easy they feel it's going to be for them to do what they have done. That's the part that bothers me most, family. That they can just feel they can easily do this. They can eliminate 2 million of us as a people. Yeah. This is Howard Nicholas, and why the West wants Africa to remain poor. So they control Africa's resources. Let's check it out.
Okay, so what I'm going to try and do is just give you some charts and a couple of tables just to paint a little bit of a picture that you already know. Okay, so what this presentation is fundamentally designed to say is this. Africa historically, sub-Saharan Africa, has been fundamental to the global prosperity of the advanced countries. Okay? And Africa had a role to play. It has a role as a raw material producer. We will not allow sub-Saharan Africa to escape that. Okay? We do everything to keep sub-Saharan Africa where it is, also impoverished. It's absolutely vital for the prosperity of everyone else. So let's get clear about that. Okay? And this means all the economic structures, all the global institutions, and the economics we teach everyone is all designed to keep Africa exactly where it is. And whether it is Europe or US or now China, it's always the same. We need Africa to be impoverished because we need those raw materials and we need them dirt cheap. Okay, so that's the message. It doesn't mean to say that there's nothing Africans can do. Of course there is. Okay? But this is the opposition that they're fighting. This is what it's about. Because if Africa does do something different, I assure you living standards of all those in Europe and North America and Asia is going to fall. Okay? And that is a big price to pay. I assure you that the West is not going to allow that without a big fight. Okay, so this is what it's fundamentally about. What I want to show you is how these structures are operating. It's just 20 minutes, so we can't do very much, but just to give you a little bit of an idea. And why I keep the ideology part there is because we are part of the producers of ideology. At universities and academic institutions, we are complicit in this whole enterprise. Okay, so the job of many Western academics is to convince Africans they have to keep doing what they're doing. Okay, and to show them it's your fault that you're poor. It's not our fault. It's your fault that you're poor. You know, so this is what we do in academic institutions, and I want to show that as well. Let me just start. This is what it's basically about, so you know what it's about. But I want to just show you the extent to which Africa is specializing in the production of raw materials and basic agricultural goods. We know the basic forces that have caused this underdevelopment. We know it's colonization. I will not discuss that very much because my colleague speaker is going to go into some aspects of this. But I do want to discuss the global economic structures, the global financial institutions, and economic ideology, briefly, to give you a flavor of those. Let me start with this. You can't really see it so easily, but if those of you who are interested, you want the PowerPoint, I'm sure we can make it available to you. But the thing that you really need to see is the top line. Okay, and the extent of dependency is captured by this statistic at the top. Okay, and you compare it with all other income groups, and what you see is essentially in that one statistic how dependent sub-Saharan Africa is on raw material production. Okay, this is the very heart of what makes sub-Saharan Africa beat. Okay, here, just to have a look at one very important additional statistic, with all this export coming from sub-Saharan Africa, how much does sub-Saharan Africa account for in terms of global trade value? We know there are vast resources coming from there, but look at the bottom line in terms of global trade value. Look at that. 0.5%, 1975, 0.95%, going down to 2.1, meaning that with all this vast resources being produced, how much are they getting for it? Nothing. This is a very significant piece of data. Then I just want to show you what has happened to sub-Saharan Africa, because what we know, and from all studies, no country ever develops without manufacturing. Okay, producing raw materials will not take you anywhere. Producing basic agricultural goods will not take you anywhere. And let's have a look at how much manufacturing activity takes place in sub-Saharan Africa. We can look over the last 15, 20 years. And we see manufacturing has actually declined as a percentage of the total. This is percentages of total production in sub-Saharan Africa, how much of it is accounted for by manufacturing. So this figure here is 17% of the total. Most of the rest, when we talk of industry, it includes manufacturing, but the bulk of it is mining. Okay? Raw material extraction. This is the bulk of it. And here we see actually raw material extraction has stayed the same. What has caused industry to fall is the fall in manufacturing production. This is deliberate because we will never, as Western economists, as Western policymakers, we cannot afford to allow Africa to industrialize and start producing manufactures. Okay, so we will do everything to stop that. And I'm going to show you how we actually block that. It's obvious in certain ways, but it's less obvious in other ways. Now, we have actually seen periods of rapid growth in sub-Saharan Africa, misleading people, saying, oh, you know, we're now doing much better. And this has happened recently. Recently, I've had students come and tell me, we've done much better now. And you can see growth rates rose quite sharply in recent times. Now are starting to go again down. But if you look historically, the same thing happened earlier. Why? Because in these two periods, we had East Asian rapid industrialization processes. So in the earlier period, we had Japan and Korea and Taiwan. Okay, rapid growth, sucking in raw materials from Africa, driving up the prices, and then sub-Saharan African countries grew. Exporting raw materials, they grew. But after those countries finished industrialization, then sub-Saharan African growth rate again fell. Okay, but along comes China. Next wave. Okay, again, sub-Saharan African growth rises, but now China is going down. As many of you now know from the press, China is going down. But sub-Saharan Africa is going down even faster. And we're going to go back to where we were again, with very low prices of raw materials, very low growth rates, and again, the sorts of poverty that we saw once before. Because, bottom line, sub-Saharan Africa is condemned to this role, just the supplier of raw materials, not a manufacturer.
You can't make nothing. That's right. That's right. You can't make a damn thing. I tell you, family. I don't know. Every time I hear that, okay. Yeah, family. That's how they roll. You know, when Muammar Gaddafi was president of the AU, the African Union, and he was pushing the other countries to be more independent and develop a currency, a one nation currency. Everything on the continent should be one. One Africa. Everything on the continent should be one. You know, there should be one military to defend the brothers and sisters on the continent. They should go through a mass organization, education format, mass. Brothers and sisters who are on the continent to be trained on, either on the continent or wherever, in educating our young people in various forms and to teach them trades, as well as agriculture. Got a caller. Good morning, caller.
OG.
Hey, Baba. How you doing, sir? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing better than most.
All right, right on.
But OG.
Yes, sir.
That guy that you just had, that I remember you speaking about this boy before.
Yeah, Howard Nicholas, yes.
Yeah, Howard Nicknut. I love him.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah, he speaks.
He's telling you the show enough truth.
Right. Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, he is.
I don't get a chance to hear a guy. Yeah. I remember you speaking about him a couple of times in the past. I just, you know, just let it slide. But this guy is okay with me.
Okay.
See, if you don't understand what he's telling you, I'm talking about the black people of the globe.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't understand what this guy's telling you. You got a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're naive.
He's all right with me, Chief. He's right up. He's right in your face. He's telling you what the deal is. Mm-hmm. He's okay with me. Now, another thing. The Roger Brown thing is a week from it's the 22nd, next Saturday. It's going to be a big blowout. Prospect Place between Utica, Schenectady, and Crown Heights, Brooklyn.
All right.
Ceremony starts at 11:30, 12 o'clock. I understand.
That's next Saturday?
They say they're coming.
That's next Saturday at...
Next Saturday, week from tomorrow, the 22nd of June. And from what his sister's telling me, Julius is supposed to come, Oscar, whatever. But yeah. I'm telling all the people out there in Radio Land, you know, all the wannabe, has-beens, whatever, ball players. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is might be the last time we see each other live.
Wow. Yeah.
If they show.
Yeah.
And people come, they say they got busloads of people come from Indianapolis, who I don't know these people, but these are Roger Brown's people. That was his family when he got with the Pacers. Okay. But it's the June the 22nd. Prospect Place between Utica Avenue, Schenectady Avenue, and a block from St. John's Recreation Center where we all started playing. For all those who want to see each other for the last... Now, Friday, before that Friday, the 22nd, they're having a big get-together, all the old-timers, at Junior's, downtown Brooklyn on Flatbush Avenue Extension in DeKalb.
Right on.
For those who want to make the you know, the hangout thing the day before the ceremony.
Okay. Beautiful.
But I'm just putting this out there because I know you have long tentacles. You all over the place. People hear you or listen to your show like me. They don't call in a lot.
Right.
Just don't say nobody told you. Don't say after it's all over, nobody told me. Well, I'm telling you now.
Right on.
It's going to be an all-day affair. Start the ceremony, supposed to start at the politicians and the preachers. Everybody want to be reelected the whole nine yards. I told his sister, just as long as those reporters don't ask me anything about what really happened, because I can tell you the story.
Okay, right on.
See, what they're doing now, they're celebrating all this crap that New York and the DA, Frank Hogan, and the rest of them punks tried to destroy that Brown family because of what happened with Roger.
Oh,
Connors.
yeah, Mike Brown, yeah.
The Brown, Rogers family,
oh,
the Brown
okay.
family.
Oh, Roger, yes.
Rogers family, I was there. They tried to bury them people alive, man. It was pathetic. Frank Hogan was the DA. They had cars sitting outside intimidating them people 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Wow.
They kidnapped Roger and Connie. People don't know that. His mother had to go down there and get him out of the hotel.
Wow.
Roger's mother. So this crap is all right now after the fact. He's dead, gone.
Uh-huh.
It's bullshit.
Wow.
So thank you for the time.
Always, Bubba Butch, for sure,
just
man.
Just pissed me off.
Yeah. Well, you know, bring it. Come back with it again next Wednesday. We got Juneteenth Day. We'll talk about that on Wednesday next week, which is the official day. But on that Friday, next week Friday. And so.
You're talking Friday the 21st at Junior's, Saturday the next day, June 22nd on Rogers Block. Prospect between Utica Avenue, Schenectady, Crown Heights. They call it Crown Heights now.
Okay.
See? But listen, man. But that guy, whoever that man was, he telling you the truth. He's all right with me. I love truth tellers.
I hear you, brother.
Black or white.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
talk to you later.
Right on, Bubba Butch. Peace.
Yes, sir.
All Peace. Right. Brother Bubba Butch. Yeah. I like that the man tell the truth, but I just hate his condescending attitude and ways about the shit. He's just so matter of fact and so nonchalant, like, you know. And what he's talking about, really, family, is a declaration of war. He's talking about eliminating us. He's talking about continuously to make us poor and wretched and starving. I tell you. And I agree with Bubba Butch in the sense that this truth is not there because we have been duped into believing that some way, somehow, that we can appeal to these people morally. We can appeal to them and maybe they can be sympathetic to our suffering for hundreds of years of our captivity. Don't give a damn about us. And they've made us not to give a damn about ourselves. That's the part that I hate. I don't give a damn that you don't care about us. That's you. But the fact that you have found a way to mess up our minds to the extent when you erase, you make us feel like we hate to be who we are, and we want to be you. It's sickening, it's sad, it's pathetic. Yeah. Juneteenth Day here in Atlanta coming up. I know Milwaukee celebrates Juneteenth Day on the day, on June 19th, so that'll be next week, Wednesday, in Milwaukee on MLK, and the parade and all the other subsequent things that have been happening with Juneteenth Day. Yeah. In fact, the honorary chair and chief elder of Juneteenth Day for here in Atlanta is Lou Gossett Jr., celebrating the life and legacy of an actor, author, producer, musician, humanitarian, father, elder, and gentleman. Your love for freedom and humanity will live with us forever. It's going to take mankind to save mankind. Ashe. Eradicating racism. Well, that's not going to happen. So Juneteenth Day, the parade and music festival, striving to be the number one sustainable event in America. And it starts Friday from noon to 10 p.m. And then Saturday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And then Sunday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Sunday at Piedmont Park here in Atlanta. And celebrating 120 years of arts and culture in Piedmont Park. Okay. So, yeah. Georgia's official celebration. So Juneteenth Day will be happening here in Atlanta at Piedmont Park. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. A lot of good music. Family reunion stages. The parade. 5K Freedom Run. The pageant. So check it out. Juneteenth Day. Yep, we got the parade there and sign up and music. So it's going to be great. So, Juneteenth Day. Oh, what is this? Catch Juneteenth Day in Atlanta at the White House. Don't worry, we're coming back home to Georgia. The Juneteenth Day parade and so forth. Catch Juneteenth Day on the White House lawn representing Georgia. Okay. I know they had a production a few days ago about Juneteenth Day. Now, what we're talking about, of course, is a declaration of war and minimizing and marginalizing who we are as a people, and that's going to happen. Family, to me, don't get hung up when they don't advertise what we do. Don't get hung up if they don't promote what we do. Don't get hung up if they don't talk about what we do. It's not in a commercial. Damn that. I don't give a damn about nothing that these folks do. Because why? I want us to be sovereign. I want us to be independent. I want us to be liberated from this madness. I want us to be on our own doing things with each other and doing for self. I want us to be on the continent, having kicked the Arabs out, having kicked the Indians out, having kicked the Koreans out, having kicked the Chinese out, having kicked them crackers out, and controlling our land and producing from the raw materials that we have. Yes, to hell with Howard Nichols. Africa must not ever produce anything. We must keep them poor. The only thing they can do is take the stuff out the land and give it to us. He mentioned how much they make minuscule, less than 1%. That's crazy. That's crazy. It comes out of us and we do nothing. And it goes to Europe, it goes to America, it goes wherever. And they produce, they deal with the finished product and even sell it back to us. When you see brothers and sisters on the streets with all kind of shit on their head, I ain't lying, I seen a lady with a couch on her head, chairs, lamps, but all kinds of things for sale, produced elsewhere, produced in Southeast Asia, produced in Europe, produced in China. And like I said, you know, what would do my heart and my mind and my spirit justice is see that it is evolving before I expire, that it is happening, that we're waking up to it, that we're doing things in a manner that is shaping up for us to control our land and our resources. Excuse me. You know, That's what I'm talking about. That's what we need to make happen. After we come back from the break, play a piece shorter than the other piece we just played, but play a piece about these Caucasians talking about killing us, talking about eliminating us. They needed to populate the world, they say. And the first to be depopulated, of course, is Africans, because we're deplorable. We don't give anything to anything else. And so, yeah, this is the mindset that we're dealing with, family. This is a declaration of war. We have been warred upon. I know my good brother, Brother Paul, says, you know, don't mean we're not at war, because we don't act like it. That's the point. But we're being warred upon. We're targeted for elimination. We're targeted for extinction. We're targeted for to be eradicated. They want to exterminate us. They want to eliminate us. And the state that we're in at this very moment, we just let it happen. We're not in a position to fight. We have no idea. We believe that this country and Western society would not allow that to happen. I know that in many instances we're very naive. Very naive. We believe that our suffering and what has happened to us through colonization, oppression, and so forth. We believe that not in reparations. Because, you know, I mean, let's be real. They talk about reparations all the time. And a lot of times the form of reparations deal with payments so we can get money and stimulate the economy. Reparations should be about repair. Reparations should be about repair. Repair us as a people. Repair us as Africans. Repair our land. Repair. It shouldn't be about getting some money so we can buy a nicer house, a bigger car. Considering, you know, Charles Cutheimer was a columnist, an editorial columnist back in the 70s. I think he died in the 80s. Charles Cutheimer. And there was an article where he talked about we should give blacks reparations. This was happening at the tail end of the late 70s, early 80s. And he was talking about, we gave them welfare. We gave them affirmative action. We gave them this, that. You know, we should go ahead and give them reparations. Let's say 20,000 an individual, 40,000 a family, something to that effect. Whatever, whatever. But once it happened, now shut the hell up. I don't want to hear a damn thing you got to say. There ain't going to be no lawsuits about discrimination. The onus is going to be squarely on you to prove that you've been discriminated against, and you're going to need a lot of cooperation, a lot of bona fide verified proof to those effects. And in fact, even when you do bring it, it's going to be hard for them to win, because we ain't going for it. And it definitely ain't going to be no class actions. Man. And we continue to want to be a part of this madness, when the main thing that we should be doing is preparing ourselves, to run our world. Nothing makes sense for us because we're not. And we believe that the people who do run it, they wouldn't possibly allow us to be eliminated, would they? No. We entertain them. We sing and dance. We play games. We're the most athletic. We're this, we're that. No, they wouldn't allow that to happen. Man. They wish you would disappear. You know, I caught that one piece with Bill Gates talking to an audience. And he said, yeah. He said, we have. And what's interesting, when he said it, you know, I thought what he was talking about was to assist us, to help us, you know. No, it's to eliminate us. They're into population control. And believe me, when you have a people who are less than 10% of the population and who have historically had problems raising that population, and now when you factor in homosexuality, when you factor in that women who wanted to have careers were not having children at the prime ages of having children, and so therefore their ability to have children had decreased. Oh, man, come on. This stuff is getting sicker and sicker as we go. So, family, let us go. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll play this one piece, and I'm quite sure you'll be like, damn. Because they're talking about serious elimination. They're talking about, you know, finding whatever ways that could be to get rid of us. Whether it is whatever it happens. Yeah. So, man, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Paul Hardcastle, Just a Summer Love. Hope you enjoyed it, and sorry for the technical glitch there. Appreciate the patience. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. Yeah. So I'm going to play this particular piece. Like I said, the intent of those who run this world, and unfortunately it's not us, the intent is to eliminate us. My good brother Keith Acey sent me this. He says, whether this was a video of a real event or not, I believe that it is the real agenda of the powers that be, our elimination. Argue all you want, but it is happening in real time. Everywhere you look, right now, we must prepare ourselves. Ashe.
One question for me. Where does any synthetic molecule serve the living?
They don't.
Right.
I mean, none.
And am I right in suggesting that a medicine, by definition, is something which contains synthetic molecules, something that is registered, patented, and put into the market as a medicine?
Absolutely.
Proper. Right. So what I'm learning from you, Dr. Young, is that a quadrillion-dollar enterprise is at work amongst us, decimating, culling the human family.
Intentionally.
Intentionally. Using synthetic molecules, which by design are cancer, AIDS, all of the bogeymen you could dream up.
As for the purpose of sterilization and population control, there's too many people on the planet we need to get rid of. In the words of Bill Gates, at least 3 billion people need to die. So we'll just start off in Africa. We'll start doing our research there, and we'll eliminate most of the Africans because they're deplorable. They're worthless. They're not part of this world economy, so they have their rights taken away, and they're suppressed, and they're experimented.
And the multilateral agencies and the health and regulatory so-called authorities and agencies appear in the main to have become weaponized, and appear, I again use the word appear advisedly, we're not casting judgments here. We're taking depositions, listening to expert testimonies, appear to be weaponized and appear to be working in collusion against the living men and women of the soil. Is that a fair statement?
It is. It's not a bacterial war. It's a systemic poisoning war. And they're using chemical warfare against all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. So, brothers and sisters, we're being warred upon. And unfortunately for us, we act and behave like we don't have a damn clue. And we act and behave as if we just merrily continue to go along, not understanding that we are being targeted for our elimination. Targeted. So, the question is, what are we going to do about it? Because I think when you continue to have an individualistic mindset, then you operate like, you know, that's somebody else's problem. It ain't my problem. I'm good. I live in a great neighborhood. My kids go to great schools. I got a great job, drive a nice car. No, that's somebody else. That's for those ghetto dwellers, you know, who discourage our society, leeching off the good people in the society like myself. Yeah. Yeah. Brother Irv, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Baba Oshu. Thank you for putting me on, man. I really, really appreciate that.
All right, my brother. I just want to. So, when I saw the first callers that I see here, so I got a little order here. Yeah.
And really quickly, Baba Oshu, I know you got a few people, but you know, you hit on so many points, man, that are just so relevant right now. And playing that piece about the extermination, and I say, and I use the word extermination of American Africans, because this is the theme throughout the world. Africa has never been seen in its true light. Africa has always been seen through the lens of a European, and his lens is one of taking, destroying, conquering, and commanding Africans. I went to Africa. I didn't see a lot of the things that I saw on this television, people in pots cooking and rags, people running around with rags on, and I didn't see Sally Struthers feeding people for 10 cents a day, and I didn't see all that. But it's not to say that there weren't white folks over there helping the Africans, well, thinking they're helping the Africans, because the reality is they take more than they give.
Sure.
But the one thing in this country that you're absolutely correct about, the collectivism and the individualism, because individualism is what white people have injected into the minds of American Africans to get them to have the mindset of, I got to get mine. I can't
exactly
do nothing. I got to get what I got to get. Yeah. And the more toys I have when I die, the better off I am. And the more you worship me, because I got it's the same when you're trying to imitate or assimilate to a Caucasian. You look at this cat, Donald Trump. He's supposedly a millionaire.
No, what a billionaire. He's supposedly a billionaire.
Okay. What makes you think a billionaire is going to help you? And how do you think he got to be a billionaire? So you think he's going to do something for you, and he's done nothing all his life but for himself, and then that imitates the behavior of the rest of the Caucasians. They just don't be as blatant as him. Mm-hmm. He's blatant and tells you can't do no better than me. But the reality is, Baba Oshu, I'm going to stop after this. We were enslaved. We were trying. They were trying to make us into slaves. We were in slavery here in this country, lasted over 300 years, and then it stopped. It supposedly stopped and took another form: black codes, Jim
right.
Crow,
right.
all those other slavery components. And then they expect you to develop and be just as fine, and everything's good. You don't. Your communities are great. You're prospering, and you're right level even with the rest of the people. And that's not true, because we were in a situation of hopelessness, which at least that's what the oppressor thought. We were in hopelessness, and we saw so many things against us, and we still are standing here and fighting for our liberation. So that's a powerful people. And I'm telling you, Baba Oshi, Arugu will never win against the American African.
Never.
Because we are people who came over in the belly of a ship, and now, oh yeah, we entertain, and we're here to amuse you. But you keep looking. Why you keep looking so hard? Because you know that there's a section of us called Pan-Africanists and other names who are fighting. We are fighting. We smiling just like you're smiling. But behind that curtain, when you doing your thing, we behind the curtain doing our thing. Mm-hmm. We're strengthening our brothers. We're supporting Africa, the Africans who are coming out of the colonized mind that the Africans were, that was forced upon the Africans. And we are fighting and we are winning because the world is changing. That's why you see different monies coming up now. The petrodollar, remember that word, you're going to hear it again. Yeah. These
Bricks.
Things are happening. They're bringing down this fake democracy. They're putting on these Africans. Oh, you gotta have this, and you gotta support this, and you ain't. Let me tell you something. Africa has everything the world needs, and nobody wants to pay for it. I didn't make that up. I heard that somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, and nobody wants to pay for it. So Africa is at the end of the day. Whoever has the resources wins. Africa has the resources.
Exactly. That's the prize. And it's so ours.
It's correct. In actuality, Africa can wait you out, mm-hmm. America, because you consume so much till you're running out of. That's why you got bombs, because you want to go take it now.
Yeah.
But you're not taking anything before everybody got a bomb. So, you know, this whole, we can't let Iran get a bomb. Look, everybody got a bomb now.
Yeah.
So you need to calm down and deal with people honestly and stop. I got a bomb. You can't tell me what to do. Nobody wants to tell you what to do, but we also don't want you to tell me what to do. This world is big enough for all of us. And if you work within the universe and play your position, go and do what you know is right and not do what you think is popular or what you think is going to lift you up. Bruh, we all in this together, but what we're not going to do is we're not going to go backwards in our history to the negative. We're going to go back in our history to the positive, because we built the pyramids. We had running water and toilets while you still were living in caves and taking a bath twice a year. So stop, brother Oshie, and thank you for letting me come on.
Right on, brother Irv. Just hang in there, brother. Right
yes,
on.
Sir.
Appreciate you. Yeah. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How have you been? I haven't heard from you in a while. You've been doing okay?
I'm blessed.
Right on,
and
Sister
Abia. And hope you're doing well, too.
I am well. Thank you. Yes, I am.
Yeah, so I say reparations now. That's what I believe in. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about the two sisters that were with Tulsa, with the Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Uh-huh.
The sister's about 100. The other one's about 98, and they've been engaged in a battle with the United States government to get reparations for the travesty that was invoked on them with the Tulsa.
Right. Yeah, there was in 2021, which is the 100th commemoration of the massacre in Tulsa.
Right.
I went there, and there were three surviving
There
members.
Were three. One of the brothers died recently,
right.
And the two sisters survived.
Right.
And they just lost, you know, they were kept escalating, appealing the courts, and then so their Supreme Court over there said, we're not giving you nothing, no reparations.
Yeah. Yeah, they can come up with statute of limitation, all kind of bullshit, you know. But let me just say this in terms of reparations, you know, and I know that many of us in this country believe reparations should be about receiving some money for a debt owed. And I understand
that.
Yeah,
it is a debt owed, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, but what I'd like to see is reparations for the repair of us as a people. And as I was explaining earlier, there was this Caucasian named Charles Kuttheimer, who's a columnist. New York Times, one or the other, and editorials. And he wrote the article.
Yeah,
I've said it before. And I wrote an article about we should give them reparations because we'll get it right back within maybe months, if a year. We'll get all that money back. It'll be really, give them reparations, it'll be like a big stimulus package to stimulate the economy, to move money forward. Because they're not going to pull the money together. They're not going to bring it together and establish schools, institutions. You know, they're going to stimulate the economy with coats and clothes and cars, you know, and jewelry and adornments, you know. And so if that is a possibility, then that's a waste of the reparations, because what we need.
So you think we should just not get no reparations at all?
Oh, no. Yes, we should get reparations.
And I just wanted one other thing, though. That it's, I believe it's like a false narrative thought to believe that the Yoruba is going to repair us anyway. I don't believe our demand is for them to repair us. This is just paying a debt that's owed.
No, I'm not saying they repair us.
We got to repair ourselves.
That's the point. That's the point, dear.
And
we repair ourselves
through
the use through these reparations. Yes.
Huh? You got homeless men. I mean, I was so heartbroken when I went home to the Bay Area to see all these, you know, just black people laying on the street, no home, all over. And if they got money to that they could buy a home, I said that's good.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. I agree. But you know, I'm saying is that this money should put us on the path to independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. This money should not put us on the path of dependence, should not put us on the path of where now we have these cars and jewelry and so forth.
And
homes and so forth.
And it's good to have
economy.
A home.
Oh, no, no doubt, dear. It is very good to have a home. But let's just
say... you lay out there after me.
But let's just say, for all the people that we see all the time in these cities, you know, who are homeless, who are out there, and that we find a way to house them, we find a way to feed them, we find a way to find some meaningful employment or whatever. And that's what we should do. But my contention is, here in America, this is the problem of America. And it will be a problem of America, and it will definitely be a problem for us. So, to me, the reparations in the repair is to get out, is to return.
Well, why not do both? You could still get the, you know, people are here now to use the money, and then still be going out. You might could use some of that money to get to get your transportation over there.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, I hear you, but.
I think that those that don't want the money. One thing about the reparations, I think it would be good as with Pan-Africanism, African people, let's have a unifying call, you know, because you say, oh, well, reparations, black folks don't want it, half don't want it, so we're not going to get it. Let's just have a unity coming together for reparations for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, and those that don't think they should take the money, then they should just not take it. But don't put down those that believe in it or want to use it. Mm-hmm. Just don't take the money. Or those, and people that do have the money or the resources, whichever they are, then they use it. I mean, it could be given to those of us that want to do something revolutionary with the money or with the resources. Because like they said, reparations could be money. It could be land.
Education. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so we could just come together and just say, this is a dead old. And we stand together demanding the reparations.
I hear you. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, because the Jews have got reparations. They're still getting reparations now. They're still getting
indigenous people.
Billions all the time.
Yeah, indigenous people. They
indigenous, Japanese.
Yep.
So, I mean, they stand up, you know, for that, for, you know, what the debt that was owed to them. And we can do it and fight and demand for it.
And to me, nobody has been harmed by these Europeans than us.
Right.
Because other groups, they at least they still had an idea of who they were culturally, who they were historically. You know.
That's up the indigenous people pretty bad. But
they tried to erase our memory. They tried to give us a false memory of them. The only thing that we were doing was running around a jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, waiting for Europeans to bring us civilization. And nothing could be furthest from the truth. In fact, many, you know, and as you know, Sister B, they believe, some of them, that we did, that they did us a favor by getting us out of Africa. By bringing,
I don't even believe they believe that. They just lying saying that.
They don't. Some of them actually
they got no
do.
Benevolence.
Some
what?
No, they don't have any benevolence.
So white
but,
people believe that they did us a favor?
Yes.
I think they lying about maybe some, but I think the most of them, they just treacherous and corrupt.
No, there's some of them.
They just treacherous and corrupt and atrocious. So and they just perpetrating and then use that as just some kind of side excuse. Well, you know, we did this, but that wasn't the motivation for them.
No,
for their atrocities.
Not
their
at all.
Their motivation was greed,
right?
And barbarism.
I agree. Yes, it was. But they believe that because we took you out of an environment that where there was nothing, no progress, no this, no that, no nothing, that and then expose you to Western culture and so our way of life, you know. So
you really believe that the white people just, I mean, like they're going over there stealing all our stuff. They're going to see how great we were originally and then going to try to hide it from us by cutting off our features and our
statues. Oh, yeah, they've been doing that for hundreds of years.
So, I mean, I think they were sitting at our feet learning stuff.
Right, they were doing that for hundreds of years.
A lot of them knew that we was a great people, and they just used that as a lying, conniving excuse. Just did it to help them.
Right, I hear you. No.
Well,
there are some who know the truth, and there are many who don't. Many
right.
who don't.
Right.
So, all right, my sister. Right.
But this is one of the things, you know, they're very atrocious and corrupt. And you look at the president of the United States. Now, you know, we call him Genocide Joe for what he's doing in Gaza and other places, mm-hmm. all over the world, actually, mm-hmm. Africa, too.
Sure.
And he's going to throw, I mean, they're so corrupt, this man. So he's going to throw his own son under the bus and set him up. You know, his son lost the they were having the trial. He lost and he was convicted. And Joe Biden is saying, "Well, I'm not going to try to give a pardon to my son. He wasn't going to try to commute the sentence,
right?
So what?" And he set up. He set it up. He's so stupid. He set up for his son to fall like that because they allowed Trump. Trump had this prosecutor that had started investigating his son, and so so Biden allowed that prosecutor to even though he's the president, he allowed them to use Trump's prosecutor. That was a setup right there.
Okay.
And then his attorney general, he allows his attorney general is allowed to Biden's attorney general is allowed to convict, to allow the special prosecution of his son.
I think
corrupt
that...
on his son, and then the white people they're so bombastic about the thing. They're saying, oh, that's good that he's gonna let his son go to jail and spend prison time and that's good. So
what they're saying, Sister Habia, what they're saying is that if he is found guilty and he is guilty, then we're not gonna pardon him. We're gonna let him do his sentence. Now the sentence that is gonna happen to him is gonna be very minimal. Okay? It ain't gonna be like he's gonna be languishing in prison for 10 years. Solitary confinement, nothing like that. See?
If it was my son, they wouldn't. I'd commute them. I would pardon mine. Wouldn't be going to no jail.
I hear you. I understand that. And probably too, the place that he might be going is the place. Yeah, you know, a halfway house. So it's not going to be like, you know, I don't know. We'll see. But I understand
what
he's doing.
That was a trumped up charge, though. You know, that was just trumped up. Yeah. Though. I mean. Addiction. He's addiction is an illness.
Yeah, right.
And then he bought a gun that he didn't use, and he returned it in 11 days. Yeah. Nobody was harmed. And then they saying, "Well, 25 years is a possibility." Should that just show you how corrupt the United States?
Well, that's not going to happen once again.
I know it's not going to happen. Yeah. But just the point of it.
I hear you. All right, my sister. Good to hear from you. Good to hear your voices, Abia. See you on Juneteenth.
Okay,
you
are Abibi Fahodie.
Abibi Fahodie.
Reparations now.
All right. Brother Paul, how are you, my brother?
How are you, Bob Oshie? I'm fine, man. I'm doing well. Thanks for life. Thank you.
Good, my brother.
Yeah, a very interesting conversation. So many thoughts came to mind, you know what I mean? I actually, before I rang in, before I heard all the different contributions, I was thinking about something which Dr. Jerome Fox said last week on the Carl Nelson show about, and you, what made me refer back to it is something you confirmed for me. You know I keep pushing this thing that we're not at war, and I know it bothers some people because it's a mantra which we've adopted. And I realized something, Baba Olchi, we often adopt these mantras without thinking, without really energizing any critical thinking. And it's not that I can think critically better than anybody else, but I think that's how we've been trained to do. Like in what I call the systems, you go in these systems and they tell you that you're going to, but that is not really what's happening. In his indoctrination.
Brother Paul, you broke up on me. Repeat what you just said prior, because you broke up.
Sorry,
on me.
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you very well. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know what part you caught, but what I was saying is that we get planted with all these mantras which we regurgitate very often.
Right.
Like we hear people say, we're at war, without actually thinking what war is. You understand? And I guess it's something which gives people a uplifting feeling. It makes you say, oh, yeah, we're at war. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, when you study and you look at war, it's probably less than 5% fight and go to war. Less than 5% police. The majority of the people run for their life. That's what happens in war. You know what I mean? People don't just get up and start saying they're going to kill other people. It's not natural for people just to kill people. Mm-hmm. Most people, you can, of these news rules, most people are in their cars with all their luggage on there running for their lives. You understand? Mm-hmm. So this idea that we're at war is total lunacy. And the reason why I have to go on about it, because I feel that someone's planted this on us. And what you do when you regurgitate it without critical thinking is you scare people. Because, you know, if you can't fight and you're not really a warrior, don't talk about going to war, because you're going to lose. You're going to get, that's the end for you. You have to have that in you, that you have to be born with that kind of spirit. You have to be born with that warrior spirit for you to go to be at war. You understand? And I think it's lunacy. I feel, to be honest with you, not to contradict myself, I'm born with that spirit. I spent most of my life fighting.
Sure.
And, you know, real war is not a nice thing. I mean, I've never been to, because the only opponent about war is to kill the other person,
yes,
to eliminate that person, right? So, you know, this talk we're at war is total, absolute lunacy.
Let me say this. Let me say this, Brother Paul, because we're being warred upon.
Absolutely.
There is no doubt about it. What I just played, I played Howard Nicholas and his mindset of talking, and that's kind of old, where he's saying we must make sure that we keep Africa poor. We must make sure that we get Africa's resources for little or for nothing. We must make sure that we continuously do this, because the benefit for these developed countries is why Africa is poor. And for us to continue to develop, for us to continue to be on top, we must keep Africa where it is. They must never, ever be able to produce anything. They got raw materials, but I don't want them making a damn thing. That is for us to do, you know. And so,
well, you see why that's important, Baba Olchi, because when you use that terminology in those specific words, we are being warred upon. Then someone logically will say, "What do you mean?" And then you would explain the forms of attack, okay? You would explain the forms of attack, like you would talk about the mind, how they're attacking our minds through the schooling, falling systems and their indoctrination systems. You would explain that because you understand that. And then one can get it. One could understand it. And then one can start preparing their mind. Because, Baba Olchi, another thing, you know, people say, oh, we're at war. I can't explain the ludicrousness of that statement, because a lot of people you talk to, I'm not going to say most, their minds are just somewhere else, man. How are you going to tell them people to defend? Even, oh, man, it's so crazy. How are you going to ask these people whose minds are all over the world, right, all over the place, to defend you in any circumstance? They're not gonna defend you, and they're not gonna even have a chance to defend you. You know, most of them are like, if you imagine a rabbit caught in the headlights, you know, a rabbit's caught, you know, it's just frozen there, it's just looking, it doesn't know whether to run left, it doesn't know whether to run right, it doesn't know whether to run back, it doesn't know what to do.
Right.
Majority of people, in my respectful observation, the majority of people you come across and talk to, that's how they are.
Yes.
You know, they go to work, right? They pay their bills, they come home. And if you try and engage with them on anything outside that, man, they don't have a clue.
Exactly.
You know, when I was talking to you, I was thinking something. No, it's true, brother. I engage with people all the time. And so I go all over the place, all over the country. And sometimes I sit down, listen to conversations, and I just hold my head, man. Mm. They're so lost. They're so lost, the people. And it's not their fault. It's what the television's done. It's what the mass manipulating media's done. It's constant. And they're not prepared for anything. They're just out there. They don't have a time. Look, I'm born in this country, yeah? And even when I engage with the people born in this country, white people, yeah? I know 98% of them, I can tell them more about their history, right? I'll say to them, Boadicea. I'll say, do you know who Boadicea is, yeah? They don't have a clue about nothing. I'm telling you, 98% of them, they don't even know their own history. And I'm looking at them thinking, wow, this is what the schooling, fooling system's done. So how do I know and they don't know? Because I made it my business to know.
Right.
Because I started to wonder, I'm looking at my own people, right, and I'm wondering, why are they behaving like that? I look at, my people are Christians. I'm looking at them as a not a Christian. I don't classify myself as a Christian. My parents are, because I look to them and I'm talking about my own parents who I love, right, who done the best for me. But I look at their Christian ideology and behavior, and it's not right. I'm telling you, it's not right. Okay? And I've had these discussions with my dad and my mum also. My mum will always tell me, oh, it's because you don't believe in God. And I say to her, God, what God are you talking about? Are you talking about the Eurocentric God which they've implanted in your mind? My mum just goes quiet. She doesn't say anymore. Because she can't say anymore. She can't. Because I'm talking the truth. That idea and concept of God that you talk about has been given to you by Europeans, and they gave it to you by murdering you, raping you, torturing you, and beating you to death. That's how they gave it to you.
Exactly.
And even this Muslim. Let me just
exactly. Even Islam. I agree with you. Even Islam.
Even you're talking about your Muslim. Look, I ain't here to beg no friends. I'm going to tell you that. So if they don't like it, they can bite it. The truth of the matter is, when Islam came into Africa, they murdered, raped, tortured, and cut people's penises off and made them into eunuchs. That's what they did. Okay? It didn't come with no philanthropic idea. Oh, this is God, and you have to pray, and it'll make your life better. No, they didn't. They beat it and murdered it and tortured it into people. Why did they do that? Because that Islam and Christianity is a Eurocentric ideology, and Islam is an Arabized ideology. And if you have their mindset, that's what you are. You're Arabized or you're Eurocentric. That's the truth. I don't know, people don't like it, and they're going to argue this and that, and there's nonsense, but it's the truth. None of them were African ideology. None of them.
None.
And that's where we are today.
Yep.
So you can tell me, you can ask these people to fight for me, and they don't even know who they are. Look, today we have the knowledge. The information is there, right? You don't need to come in like, you know. You can go and work it out for yourself. It's all there. Yeah. It's at the touch of your fingertips.
Yep.
And the point I'm trying to make is, how are you going to ask these people who don't even have their own minds, claiming that they're this and they're that, to defend you, really? They're not going to defend you because they're out of their minds. So to be honest with you, let me close it here. Dr. Fox said he was talking about the mind. He said, we have to prepare our minds. That's what he said.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's right.
We
have to prepare our minds. Right. And we have to organize. Right. We're not organized. This is what he said. Yeah. And a caller rang in. This is what I'm saying. A caller rang in and a caller agreed with what he was saying. Yeah. And before the caller came off the phone, the caller said, we're at war. And I thought to myself, this man has just told you that we're not at war. He just told you that the behavior...
Still on. Mm-hmm. God damn.
But Ochi, do something about this man, man. He's disgusting. He's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do something about him, man. He's disgusting. Because I've come to my end with him. He don't know me. Please do something with him and control this idiot.
What's happening?
I agree.
You didn't hear Jay just come on there. Idiot, man. This fool, control him. He don't really know me.
Okay.
I'm sick of him.
Yeah.
Please control this idiot.
Well, I don't know who that
he's
was.
He's very disrespectful. He's disrespectful, dishonest. He's disgusting.
Yeah. Well,
he's a disgusting specimen of a human being. He's despicable.
Okay, Brother Paul. We're definitely gonna handle that.
Control him, man.
Okay, then. I'm going to mute you and go to another call. Thank you.
Baba Oshi, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead quickly.
Yeah, real quick, just to speak to what brother was talking about from England, what I thought about when he was speaking was he is enlightened, and he in his journey, this is where he is. And I think it is his job to say what he says, because he says some things that people may not like. And he says that because he understands it. But right. The thing is, we all have to live in our space where our journey is. When I first started as a Pan-Africanist, I had no idea what Pan-African really was about. Mm-hmm. It's much more than reading a book and jumping on the radio. And it's about doing. It's not about talking. It's about helping your fellow Africans realize their colonization, and then we work together to get ourselves out of it. But to say that people aren't at war, people are at war at different ways. Dr. Henry Clark was at war, but I never saw him pick a gun up and shoot nobody. But he was at war. He was fighting every day.
Intellectually,
Baba Oshi's fighting.
Intellectually.
We all fight the way we fight. And because you don't see me fighting like you, doesn't mean I'm not fighting.
Right.
So, and that's the controversial part. To say that I'm not at war is really, it's not a completely true statement. I'm just not at war the way you are.
Well, let me
and
just
we
say
all
this.
Are passionate.
I would say this, that there is no doubt about it. When you look at this situation, we are at war for the minds of our people. It is the mind. And if our minds are corrected, then we know what we have to do physically. So no, mm-hmm. it's not a physical war at this moment. It's a spiritual and mental war.
Right.
And unfortunately, because we don't want to embrace who we are historically and culturally to fight this situation, we're going to be doomed if we don't. Because they're preparing.
Right.
Like I said, I played those two pieces, one by Howard Nicholas, the other by a panel discussion, and them saying that we believe Bill Gates is right, that we need to eliminate three or four billion people, and we're going to start with Africans.
Right.
You know, because they're deplorable, they're no good, they're not a part of this. Yes, they are, because they produce many of the raw materials, because you prevent them from producing anything with their own raw materials. They can't even produce a goddamn candy bar.
Right.
All the cocoa in the world comes out of Africa, and it goes to England, and it goes to Switzerland, and it goes to Belgium, and it goes to all these other damn places. So, yeah.
Bob Ochi.
Yeah.
Can I just finish that, yeah?
Yeah,
go ahead. You said you played that piece, yeah? Ebola, right? How did Ebola or even AIDS get to Africa? Wasn't it those in America who brought AIDS to Africa and Ebola? Okay.
Yes.
And let me tell you something else. When they set up those Ebola camps, those American centers in those places, okay, those it was the governments who invited them in. Now, please explain to me how they're at war. It's the governments of those countries and the people who invited them in. Okay, those biological centers. Ebola came from out of Fort Detrick in America, and so did AIDS.
Yeah.
Both of them came out of there. And those people weren't fighting back. They invited them in. And even today, that president of Kenya, he's inviting them in. So you please, I want someone to, look, no one's at no damn war. We've got to stop lying to ourselves. Nobody is. You may be fighting.
Okay,
some,
so
some,
now,
like,
Paul,
like,
listen to this. So now, yeah, if you're saying I'm not, but yet instead I'm doing things against my own interests.
Right.
I am at war for my mind. Well, because I'm doing so things. I'm doing things against my own interests. I'm doing things against my community. I'm going against my family. I'm basically an instrument of my own destruction.
Yes. And why are we that, Ochi? Because we're out of our minds.
Yes.
You can't be going against your own interests if you're not out of your mind.
Yes.
Right? You can't be working for the enemy if you're not out of your mind. And I'm saying, this is the point I'm trying to make. When you acknowledge that you're out of your mind, when you acknowledge that, when you're in the act of knowing that, then you start to behave in a way that you've got to get your righteous mind back. Okay,
right.
But if you don't know you're out of your mind, you're just going to continue to behave in that way.
Exactly.
And that's why we're not really making any progress, because we keep lying to ourselves and pretending that we're here, there, and everywhere because we've got some sort of status in this economic system. We say, oh, look at this one, look at that one. And that ain't made a damn bit of difference to our whole situation anywhere. Really hasn't.
Yes,
okay.
And that's what we do. We look at those who have. And what the Caucasian done, the European and Yoruba has done, is say, look at them. You too can be like them. And so you strive to do that as opposed to doing for yourself.
That's how I grew up. Exactly what you say. Oh, look, aspire to be like that. Aspire to be like that. And I went in those places and I saw those people and I'm thinking to myself, is this what I really want to be? I didn't really want to be that.
I don't want
to
be that. Because
I knew that wasn't me.
Exactly.
So I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah, let me get Brother Rick on, okay? Hold on.
Brother Rick.
Hey, my brother, how you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, what I'm hearing is a convolence of many of the aspects that we have to consider, but they all point to the same thing. You know what I'm saying? You could have 10 people in the room, like the ones that call your show, I should say, or the majority of them, and have different opinions of things, but they're all pointing to the same thing. We got to start doing things consciously for our future.
Yes.
For our future. And we won't be in that future. I want my grandchildren to not have these kinds of conversations ever. If they have to leave this goddamn place, And I tell them, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes, when you're going to fight somebody and you made up your mind that you're going to fight them, there are no limits as to what you're going to do. You can bite them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can poison them. It doesn't matter. We keep going to the law, and the law is their law. It's not
ours.
It sure ain't God's law.
Right.
God's law says an eye for an eye. That would convict every one of them because they all pledge allegiance not to God but to the Constitution, which is a lying document. It's a deceptive document. It has no power to affect our lives except to oppress us, not to free us.
Mm-hmm.
What causes freedom is when a man says, I'm not taking this shit no more.
Exactly.
That's what Marcus Garvey said.
Yeah.
That's what Elijah Muhammad said. Mm-hmm. That's what Nat Turner said. And even if they were not successful in the way that they intended, they left a legacy for those who would come behind them, who could pick up on what they began and play their rooks in this chess game the way their rooks are supposed to be played. We need to fight these people on all levels, spiritual, mental, and physical. Finally, physical, because if we do the spiritual and the physical, the spiritual and the mental,
exactly.
The physical is taken for granted.
Yeah, you're going to automatically do that.
Man, I'm telling you, I don't want no damn money. I don't want no, then with the pictures of their dead presidents on it, I don't want that. I want some land that God promised me and you and those of us who think like us. This is our land. Before these devils came here, the black man owned this land, every acre of it. And we have just turned it over to these white folks. It's the hell on earth.
Yeah.
It is literally, it ain't no hell. Like, who is that said that if there's a hell below, we all going to go?
Yeah.
That was Curtis Mayfield years ago. And that struck me, man. You know, we...
Yeah. Yeah, because we look what we have done.
We got to leave
the planet. Look what we have done.
We
got to
leave mentally. That's right, and ultimately physically. Mm-hmm. But you know, you don't necessarily have to leave physically to have leave mentally and spiritually. Mm-hmm. But the process is what has to be something that we teach each other and reinforce and learn from each other. You know, I don't know everything. In fact, the more I listen, the more I learn.
That's right.
That's always been that way with me.
That's right. Asha.
You know, when I want to learn something, I listen to somebody who knows what I don't know. And I then benefit from both of us. Both of us can benefit. Right. But look, brother, I know you got somebody else waiting to talk to you, but I always enjoy the opportunity.
And I appreciate I always appreciate your opportunity for you to participate, man.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Pete. Right. Have a good weekend.
Brother Rick.
All right. Good afternoon, my brother. How you doing, Brother Luss?
Good afternoon, Bubba O'Dear, to the listening audience. I jumped on late, but I'm just energized by the kinds and types of commentary that brothers have been sharing. And so I'm going to listen on and continue on and hopefully be on a timely fashion for next week as well. But thank you for picking up all as always.
Always,
always listening, always learning, brother.
Right on. Right on. Peace. Yeah. We got an hour's a minute. Well, we used our time, Brother Irv, we used our time wisely, didn't we?
That's right.
Yeah. But I appreciate all the time that we do have, the 2 hours that we do have, and trying to put as much information within that 2 hours to hopefully enlighten and change the minds of our people, because that's what this battle is for, as far as I'm concerned. That's why I'm doing this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, to put something on our minds, to get us to step outside of the imposed boundaries that these Europeans have placed us in, to release the damn vice grip that they have on our minds, to make us think outside of that prism, you know, and that's what we need to do. You know, more of us need to come to understand it is about the mind. You know, in fact, as I end the program all the time, what do I say in this program? With the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon, is, you know, is the minds of the oppressed.
The oppressed.
You know, it's all about the mind. All right, dear brother, I appreciate you, man. Have a good week, and I'll talk with you in a minute, okay?
Yes, you too, good brother. Yeah. All right. Yes, sir.
Love you, man. Sure. Peace. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do it out, and they sure hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day, wonderful weekend. For those brothers and sisters who are going to honor their fathers this Sunday, I hope it is a beautiful gathering, peaceful gathering, and you guys have a lot of love for one another on this upcoming Father's Day. Shemhotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a great and wonderful weekend, family.